About a week ago, it was supper time. Dog wanted to go for a little walk, so I decided that I was going to take her out for a bit. We got over to the area, which was close to the river, and as we looked at the river, at least as I looked at the river, I guess, I saw an unexpected sight. There were two men kayaking. One man was younger, one man was older, and as I looked at these two men, they were on opposite sides of a log. There was a log which had fallen the width of the river, and if you wanted to continue downstream, you were going to need to cross that log. The older man, who I presume was the heavier of the two, at least that's how it looked, he was able to get across the log. The younger and I think lighter man was unable to get across that log. His partner had to come back and help him, and because that partner helped him, he also was able to successfully cross. As I looked at that log and I thought about this lesson, I was reminded of how that log in the river was a barrier. If you were taking that kayaking trip, I think that you might have looked at that and said, that's trash, that's garbage, that's a way perhaps to pollute the river. When it comes to our rivers or lakes or streams, we can find trash, some natural and some not. As we look at land, we also find trash or garbage or debris, and sometimes we find a lot of trash. On garbage day, if you live in something like a subdivision or maybe you pass by a subdivision, you can see all the trash cans in the subdivision. You might see some trash cans that are bulging. You might see some trash cans that are heaping, bags hanging over the top. You might find that there are extra bags. We've got a neighbor that seems to love setting out extra bags. It's almost a contest. How many extra bags can we set out and the trash person is going to reject it? But I seem sometimes to see 8 or 10 extra bags set out. If you go back and you start looking at trash, you begin to find some interesting or odd statistics. It's been estimated that the U.S., as far as each citizen, generates about 5 pounds of trash every single day. That's a lot. The plastic water bottles that so many people like, it's estimated that 22 billion plastic bottles are tossed each year. That's a bunch. We have, it's said, more than 2,000 active landfills and literally thousands of inactive landfills. I don't know if some of the trash statistics counted things like hurricanes, what we've seen in Houston and so forth, but I suspect not. At least some of the people on our planet are worried about the trash, the debris. And that's because we generate a lot of it. Man has put a lot of trash on God's planet. We put a lot of trash into some of the waterways that we have, the oceans, and even in space. But have you ever thought about the fact that there is another type of trash, there is another type of defilement, there is another type of pollution in the world? And not only is there another type of trash or pollution, it's actually a type of pollution or trash or defilement that's mentioned in the Bible. If you do some reading, and you would need to start in the Old Testament, but if you carefully study the scriptures, you will find that a lack of holiness, we've been spending some time on Sunday nights talking about holiness, you would find in short order that a lack of holiness is like defilement, it's like pollution, it's like garbage. A lack of holiness by people is pictured, it's said, to defile our planet. Now we find as we look at our world, there's some people that go almost berserk over an oil spill. And an oil spill is certainly not a good thing. Or if we look at those who are concerned about air quality, if there is a problem with air quality, again, people really get their nose out of joint over that. But suppose we could show people in the Bible, from the scriptures, that sin, that short letter, that short three-letter word, suppose that we could show that sin also defiles, ruins, or pollutes the earth. Suppose that we could show that sin, that brief word, shows that in God's eyes, sin is like dumping masses of garbage upon the earth. Now, I suspect that if we made that claim, if we proposed that to someone, perhaps even to some Christians, they would say, I'm not sure that's in the Bible. I've read the scriptures, and I've never found that. I'd like to see that for myself. And then if we could present verses which substantiated that, I suspect that there would be some people who would say, no, I need to rethink about that because that's new to me. And I have to wrap my head around that idea. Well, let's see if we can pull out those verses tonight. Let's see if we can show or we can establish that sin, a lack of holiness on the part of people, creates problems for man's environment. We begin with the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 24, we have some information that may sound like the end of the world. I mean, as the chapter begins, it says, behold, Jehovah maketh the earth empty and maketh it scattered abroad its inhabitants. It sounds like everything's going to be destroyed. I do not believe that Isaiah refers to the end of time in this chapter. It seems to me that he's talking about a time, a period when there was great lawlessness, maybe going back to some of the things that we talked about this morning as far as violence, and the earth was a very unpleasant place. Because it was so bad, the chapter begins by God saying, I'm going to make the earth empty. That is, I'm going to engage in some damage. I'm going to inflict some punishment. And in at least some respects, the earth is going to be like a wasteland. God, as he goes through this chapter through his prophet, he said, the judgment is going to come to all classes of people. Verse 2. God said, you might be a priest. You might be a servant. You might be a maid. You might be a seller. You might be a buyer. You might be a creditor. God says, whatever your role is in society, it doesn't matter. He said, I'm going to come in judgment. The punishment is going to affect lots and lots of people. Now, as you move down to verse 5, if you have the American Standard Translation, or you have the New American Standard Translation, you'll have the word pollution. Here's how the ASV reads it. The earth also is polluted. It's polluted. Why? Not because they were dumping, things like bottles. He said it's polluted under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the laws. They violated the statutes. They've broken the everlasting covenant. God, as he talks about his people, as he talks about how they've been living, he says, look, sin has polluted. Sin is like garbage. It has created many, many difficulties for not just you, but he says for the land. This morning we looked at the subject of violence. Violence is one way to pollute the land. Because of that great sin, because of the pollution, God said that judgment, a curse, was going to come upon the earth. Now, somebody might say, well, that's kind of interesting. But that's only one verse. It's from this book from long ago. And I really need a lot more information before I would begin to think that sin can somehow affect the earth. I need a lot more evidence. All right. I'm willing to affirm in this lesson, I'm willing to affirm that the ecology of the earth is partly dependent on human morality. Now let that sink in. I'm going to read it again. I'm willing to affirm that the ecology of the earth is partly dependent on human morality. Now that's a high threshold. That's a high bar to reach, but I think that we can do it in this sermon. This principle is taught throughout Scripture, and one of the places where it is suggested is very early in the Bible. If you were to go back to the book of Genesis, and you were reading in Genesis, the early chapters, Genesis chapter 4, you of course have some information there about Cain and Abel. We know the story. Cain was an evil man. Cain killed his brother Abel. Abel was the good guy. He was the righteous guy. And after Abel's life was taken by Cain, God had a conversation with Cain. Here's what God said. This is in Genesis 4 verse 12. He said, when you till the ground. All right, that's talking about the earth. When you go out and you work with the earth, when you go out and you work in the field, God said, when you till the ground, notice the consequence, it will not yield to your strength. Sin and the earth are related in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 12. God said, Cain, you can go out and you can work, you can sweat. You can go out and work hard, very hard. But he said, the earth is not going to yield. It's not going to be receptive to your efforts. Why? God said, it goes back to your sin. Murder, that sin, caused Cain to experience what we might say was some backlash, some hostility, some resistance from the earth. If you pollute the earth with sin, in this case murder, Isaiah chapter 24, there are going to be some consequences. God affirmed that through his prophet, and we see that also with Cain. Now someone might say, well, again, that's a little more interesting than Isaiah 24. That point sure seems to be true, but once again, that was a long time ago, before even Moses' law, and it was only one guy. Can you maybe offer a little more information? Sure. Let's leave Genesis and let's skip over a couple books. If you want to follow along, let's find the book of Leviticus, that third Old Testament book. The chapter that we want from Leviticus is going to be Leviticus 26. Now, this chapter, of course, have not only some information about people, but we have some information specifically about God's people, the Israelites. God in this chapter says to his people, you have two choices. You can be obedient or you can be disobedient. And God not only tells his people you can be obedient or disobedient, he lays out the consequences. God says, if you are obedient, these are the consequences that you can expect. If you choose to be disobedient, God says, here's a list of consequences that you will expect. Now, what we have in Leviticus 26 is exactly the principle that we find with Cain and what he did to Abel, but now it's only much more widespread. From Leviticus 26, I want to start with verse 3 and walk down through verse 5. He said, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. And God said, even if you do them. He says, then, here's the consequence. Then will I give you your rains. That is, notice the behavior. Righteous behavior associated with the earth. I will give you your rains in the season, and the land will yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And then that last verse 5. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in the land safely. If the Hebrews wanted to obey, God said the earth, the planet, where we live, it was going to be good to them. We might say that righteousness would result in having basically a friendly planet. Now, they would still have to contend with things like thorns. That was not going to be taken away. But basically, the earth was going to be a fantastic place for them. They were going to have good crop production. In fact, as you look at verse 10, which I didn't read, God said, if you live righteously, if you follow my statutes, if you live according to my laws, there's going to be so much produce that when it comes time for the harvest of the new crops, he said, you're going to have to clear out the old. Going to have to throw it away, basically, because there's going to be so much food, so much stuff. Wow. But then, as you continue to read down through the chapter, moving down now to verses 19 and 20, we get to the opposite side of the coin. Starting with verse 19, God said, verse 18, if you're not willing to hear these things, then he says, I will break the pride of your power. And I'm going to make your heaven, he says, as iron. Well, what are you going to do to the earth, God? He said, and the earth is going to be like brass to you. Because of your sin, because of your rebellion, the earth, as you work it, as you live upon it, it's going to be like this hard metal. It's not going to be favorable to you. And your strength shall be spent in vain. God said you can go out and work the crops. You can go out and work in the fields and so forth, but it's not going to work. He said, your land shall not yield and increase, neither shall the trees of the land bear fruit. If you were to look at another book, and we'll not do that, but in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 17, a longer reading, God says essentially the same thing. If you pollute the land with sin, if you want to go out and start tossing out the spiritual garbage of sin, God said, bad news. Righteous behavior, on the other hand, is going to have some impact on how you relate to the earth. Now, this principle must be pretty important because you not only see it in Genesis, you not only see it in Leviticus, you not only see it in the book of Deuteronomy, but when you begin to look at the prophetical books, this same teaching occurs. It's not talked about too much, but the prophet Joel was an important prophet. We often think about Joel in terms of Acts chapter 2 because what he said, some of that was fulfilled on Pentecost. But Joel also is a prophet who talks about how sin and the earth are in some respects connected. We may hear a lot of talk about sin, and that's certainly something that needs to be discussed. But usually sin is never discussed in terms or in connection or in association with our planet. In Joel 1, Joel 2, I'll give you some highlights from these chapters. God's people had been evil. And as God's prophet Joel begins to communicate about what was going to happen, information about punishment is given. God said, I'm going to tell you what. Because you've been bad, there's going to be a consequence as far as the earth. Locusts are going to come. A lot of locusts are going to show up. Joel talks about the locusts and he refers to them as stripping the land. He talks about farmers and how they looked at their crops and said that they were ruined. He talks about the fruit trees, how they dried up. In Joel 1 and verse 16, God there says the food was disappearing before the people's eyes. Now, can you imagine that? You look at your crop of corn in your garden, or you look at your crop of tomatoes, or you look at the carrots and you go out to pick them, and they're just disappearing before the eyes. That's what was happening in Joel's time. The seeds were rotting in the ground, Joel 1 and verse 17. There was no pasture for the cattle. The earth had become hostile to the people. The situation was so bad as far as the earth that in Joel chapter 2 and verse 11, the text says, who can survive? Who can stand? The earth has become so hostile to us, who can now live? There was a connection between sin and the earth. In the creation, if we go back to the beginning, God set things up so man could and should rule over the ground. That was God's plan. Sin, though, came. And when sin came into the world, that things changed. If man decides to immerse himself in sin, and people have done that throughout human history, the change becomes much more drastic and dramatic. Now, someone might be listening to this information and thinking, well, okay, this is all kind of interesting stuff, but it still hasn't met, in my mind, the threshold of proof. I understand that. So let's see if we can seek out some additional information that we'll see if we can't really nail this down. Going back to the Old Testament for a minute, let's check out what we have in the book of Numbers. We just want a single verse from Numbers chapter 33. This is going to be Numbers 33 and verse 5. There are some items in the Old Testament which are universally true. That is, they were true under the law of Moses. They were true prior to the law of Moses. And they are true after the law of Moses. One example of that is murder. Before Moses' law came into being, murder was wrong. Under Moses' law, murder was wrong. After Moses' law was removed and the New Testament was instituted, murder was wrong, or we might say is wrong because we're under that system. In Numbers 33 and verse 5, we have some information about murder. Let's take a look at that. He says, We want numbers 35-33. I apologize for that. We're not going to do too well if we look at the other passage. Numbers 35, verse 33. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are. For blood, it polluteth the land, and no expiation can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. God told his people that murder pollutes the land. Now, when he used that earlier passage, I noted that the ASV and the New American Standard use the word pollute, but most other versions do not. This verse, though, Numbers 35, verse 33, is different. I checked 8 different translations, and all 8 of the translations, which would represent, I think, everything that is used here, plus in several of the locations as far as congregations, each one uses the word pollute. God says that it is possible to pollute the land. It's possible to pollute the earth. It's possible to pollute the earth through sin. In this case, the sin that causes the pollution, it brings in the garbage, is murder. If people are living in a community where murder is popular, we recognize this principle from the standpoint of common sense. They would say, we don't want to live here. We don't want to live in the apartment complex where there are murders day after day. We don't want to live in a city which is the murder capital of the world. We want to live somewhere safe. We want to live somewhere where people don't think about, where people don't commit the sin of murder. Murder, though, pollutes the land. It's possible to take the life of someone who's an adult. But there are other ways to pollute the land by murder. Do we remember how from 1973 to about 2011, 6 years ago, approximately 53 million abortions have been performed? Murder pollutes the land. As we think about the current statistics for abortion, about 1 million abortions are performed every year in this country. If you go back and you start looking at abortion, you find that there are only 9 countries, at least 9 countries that I can find, which have a rate for abortion that is higher than the United States. We need to remember that principle in Numbers 35, verse 33, murder pollutes the land. Let's envision, whether it's our country or somewhere else, a place which is being polluted. Garbage, the garbage from sin is being piled up on a regular basis. And some of that garbage, some of that pollution is coming from murder. But that's not the only kind of murder. That's not the only kind of pollution. Let's take a look, as we ready ourselves for another passage, let's take a look at what we have over in the book of Leviticus, going back to that book for just a minute. Leviticus chapter 18. What we're beginning to see tonight is that sin pollutes the land, a country. Certainly there's a sin of murder, but murder is not the only sin that can pollute a land. Let's consider, for example, sexual sin. Can sexual sin pollute the land? It can, and it does. We know that when we look at our culture, our society, sexual sin is a big problem with the young and sometimes even with the old. We know that it's a problem because we see various displays of it. We know that it's a problem because people talk about it, sometimes bragging about it. In Leviticus 18, if you were to scan through the chapter and maybe look for some headings, if you have those in your Bible, you would see that there are a number of sexual practices that were being engaged in by people under the Old Testament era, which were forbidden by God. One of those sexual practices was same-sex relationships or homosexuality. And in Leviticus 18 and verse 22, God says, that's wrong, that's bad. In Leviticus 18 and verse 24, the land had become so polluted that God said he had cast people out of the land for sexual sin. Verse 25, though, is the verse that I want to read. He said, and the land is defiled. There again is that idea. He says, the land, this section of earth, is polluted. Therefore do I visit the iniquity thereof on it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. 3 points. Number one, God says, you've polluted the land. Number two, I've brought about punishment. And number three, you have defiled, you have polluted the land in such a way where I was like a man who was nauseated. I vomited, I spit out the people. Then as you look at verse 27 in this chapter, the idea of pollution or the idea of garbage again comes up. He said, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, and they were before you, and the land is defiled. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 9 talked about defiling the earth by idolatry. Have you seen the story about the mad pooper? Now, if you haven't seen that story, you're going to say, what did he say? The mad pooper. This is a story that has been going on for a couple of months. Back in September, it was a story that broke. There's a female jogger in Colorado. And the jogger is someone who has allegedly defecated in front of someone's house for a period of 7 weeks. Now you would think, why on earth would a person do that? That's disgusting, that's foul, they're defiling that area of this person's house and property. So they still apparently haven't found the jogger yet, but they are referring to the jogger as the mad pooper. Now somebody says that's really disgusting. It is. But that also has some relevance to tonight's material. God has made our planet. He's made every square inch of it. God has intended for man to have fellowship with him. The devil, though, has come along and decided to see if he could create some pollution, some garbage through sin, and he's succeeded. And now, as we live in our world, people throughout the world continue to pollute God's world through sin. If we find the behavior of the jogger in Colorado revolting, and we should, it is revolting, then what must God think and see when it comes to the garbage of sin? How can we please God if we continue to pollute his earth with garbage? Thinking for just a moment about the loss in Nevada, and we want to be sympathetic to those folks. They all have stories, and it's really a loss that's beyond my ability to fathom and describe. But as I think about what happened in Nevada, I cannot help but reflect on a bit of irony. Do you remember the saying, there's the old adage that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? We think we've all heard Vegas referred to as the Sin City. There have been people out in Nevada who have taken great strides to defile the land. In that area, in various ways, even to the point of legalizing some acts which would not be accepted, at least widely accepted, in any other part of the United States. People have done some things that are just really outrageous. And then when this kind of thing comes up, they've sown the garbage of sin, and then when they have a bad incident, who do they turn to? God. Let's put up a bunch of crosses, and let's pray, let's turn to God, and let's appeal for his help. That really seems odd to me. Ironic. You've defiled the place, and then now you're calling on God, and there's really no true repentance. The prophet Ezekiel even got into the act. Back in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 17, God came out and said to his prophet, you guys have defiled the land by how you've lived. You've sown the garbage of sin. You've messed things up. Is it not possible to do the same thing to America? If we can contaminate our country with an oil spill, some of our waterways, can't we also contaminate it by taking sin and just engaging in it to the nth level? We live in a time when more and more people seem to be tone deaf. They don't want to speak about, they don't want to consider the danger and the possible consequences of national sin. And that's where we're focused tonight, national sin. Our national leaders, as we listen to them, maybe they come for a town hall. Maybe our national leaders, they appear on TV and they're asking for solutions. We want to figure out how we deal with violence. Let's get rid of gun violence and let's figure out how people can all get along. It's not a solution for guns. There are going to be other ways to take lives. Taking down statues will not change hearts and minds. If a well is poisoned, bringing a different bucket to the well is not going to change things. You're still going to have a problem with the well. Our nation needs to be called quickly and earnestly back to God, because we now see a lot of behavior which is defiling the land in many, many different ways. We cannot expect minds, young and old, to be repeatedly defiled, polluted by sin, and then ask God to bless our country. It just makes no sense. Sin can, and sin will, transform any nation, even the best nation, into a toxic wasteland. And we should know that, because even before we looked at all the verses from the Old Testament tonight, don't we know that verse in Galatians 6:7? You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow sin, if you decide that you're going to bring out the garbage of sin and you're going to put that in the land in as many forms as you possibly can, you're going to end up with pollution. You're going to defile the land. A long time ago, God cleansed the earth through a flood. It had become so polluted, so defiled, God said, we've got to get rid of virtually everything. He said that would never be repeated. The pollution created by sin will one day again be removed. But that time, it's not going to be by the flood. It's going to be by the end of time. A great cleanup day is coming. Are we ready? Are we ready? We trust that because you're here tonight, you are ready. And if you're on the right side, we want to make sure that we continue to pray for our nation. That's important. I don't know that gets said often enough. It's sometimes mentioned in public prayer. We want to live the best Christian life that we can, because sin defiles a nation. It defiles our nation. Are we doing our best to let a Christian light shine? Are we doing our best to pray for our leaders, whether we like them or not? And most importantly, are we ready for the great cleanup day? Those are the things that we're asking as we stand and sing the selected song.